last years of Vikings football. Here's the fans, Mark Rosen.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Purple Pass, Vikings Purple Pass. Mark Rosen again with you here each and every Tuesday night, and we have a very special guest with us tonight, a recent honoree and inducted into the Vikings Ring of Honor this past Sunday at the Metrodome, the one and only Chris Dolman. Chris, thanks for being with us tonight.
Mark, I really appreciate it.
Well, it was a big weekend for you. I know it was a big honor. We talked about it before you got here. Tell us, sort of take us through the weekend and the culmination of being inducted at halftime into the Vikings Ring of Honor.
Well, it all happened so quickly. It was one of those long surreal moments. It truly felt like it was almost that you're an out-of-body experience. I got there Friday, and things kind of kicked off on Friday evening, and Saturday was a busy day. Sunday was unbelievably busy with all the induction and everything that was going on. And, I just literally, when I got on the plane to kind of come back, I had the jacket with me, I had the ring with me, and being able to see your name hanging in the stadium, you realize that it actually happened. I'm very honored and humbled to be, included in that group of guys. You think about it, there's 19 total people in the Ring of Honor. Mm-hmm. There's only 15 players.
Yeah.
And 15 players that basically consist of O-linemen and defensive linemen. So to be in, considered the likes of Alan Page and Marshall and Eller, I mean, it's just unbelievable.
And you got a chance to reminisce with some of your ex-teammates. What stood out in your mind about some of the storytelling and some of the opportunities to chat with some of your former teammates and friends?
Well, as a player, you don't really realize the influence that you have on players and how they actually view you.
Mm-hmm.
When you're out there, guys said a lot of very, very nice and kind things. I felt so privileged to be able to play with a number of these guys. Because I tell you what, Mark, I could easily put in a number of guys that deserve to be in there, or name a number of guys that deserve to be in there. Joy Browner, Carl Lee. I mean, there's guys that that were just, unbelievable players that that really just, having gotten the notoriety, mm-hmm. the respect, I shouldn't say respect, that's not the right word, but the notoriety that, a guy like myself or John Randall might have gotten.
We're speaking with 8-time Pro Bowl defensive end, 3-time first-team All-Pro defensive end, Chris Dolman of the Minnesota Vikings. You came back here and finished your career in 1999. Was it pretty easy for you to walk away? You poured a lot of heart and soul and injuries, and you stayed pretty healthy. But was it hard to walk away from the game, Chris?
Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. I'm glad. I feel honored to be able to come back and do it in Minnesota. I could have stayed in San Francisco.
Right.
I left as a starter. I would have continued to been that kind of player. My whole thing was I wanted to see my kids play sports and be around for them because my parents were there for me. And, I kind of retired after the 15 years. But, playing more or going somewhere else to do it, it wouldn't have felt the same.
Mm-hmm.
So to be able to come back to Minnesota and do it that way, and have the enjoy every single day that you had. I mean, it was really special. I enjoyed it. I mean, I enjoyed practice. I enjoyed, because I knew it was going to be the last time. The locker room. I mean, you look at it and you say, this is the way it's supposed to end.
Yeah. A lot of guys have trouble walking away from it, though, and they do have a hard time mentally walking away from it.
Well, because it wasn't of their own their choice.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in mind now, it'd been awful if, if I'd have came in there and one day they say, Chris, we don't want you on the team anymore. That'd have been hard. But to come in there and guys said, man, you can still play. Why don't you do it? That's probably one of the greatest compliments you can get.
Yeah.
Because you want them to, you want them to say that, you can still play. Even though when you can't, makes you feel good.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you know, the one year that stands out in my mind, the 1989 season, you had 21 sacks, quarterback sacks that year, and you sit around now and watch Jared Allen setting a Viking record for the most consecutive games with a quarterback sack. I think a lot of folks like to hear your opinion about Jared Allen's technique, what you see from him, because he's always struck a lot of people as kind of an old school kind of defensive end. What are your thoughts about Jared Allen's skill?
You know, Jared's a workhorse. Jared loves to rush the passer. I mean, you can't say everybody on that defensive line would have been made our team when we played.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, with Keith Millard, Henry Thomas, and just to show you how good the competition was, even Al Noga, John Randall was on our team and wasn't even a starter.
Yeah, think about that.
He couldn't even get on the field. Now he's in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
But Jared Allen definitely could have played with us at any point in time because, you know, he's a guy who just gives his all. And that's what you want. That's, you know, that is truly what you want. You want guys who want to not only give them body, but it's all about for their teammates. And he plays like that every week.
As you watch what's going on in the NFL right now, the quarterbacks that you see, Aaron Rodgers, let's start with him. I mean, this guy's got such a quick release. He's been shredding defenses, whether it be the Vikings or pretty much anyone else around. Is he one of the best you've seen? Because you face some darn good ones, including a couple in San Francisco named Joe Montana and Steve Young over the years.
Well, yeah, I would say this here, Mark. It's not even a comparison to today's game to when I played. First of all, you don't know when is a fumble. You don't know when a guy is down. You don't know all these things that you grew up knowing as a player. It was automatic. When is a catch a catch?
Sure.
We've overanalyzed this game. We've been, and I can see why Major League Baseball doesn't go to, this instant replay type of system for the simple fact that it becomes a litigation. You know, he dropped it, but he dropped it, you know, after he hit the ground. You drop the ball, not a catch. You control the ball to the ground. You know, when you tackle a guy, he has to be down. You know, there's not all this hitting zone on quarterbacks. They basically turned it into, and I was, you were there when I was in camp. It's basically no more than 9-on-7.
Mm-hmm.
It's a large version of arena football.
So are you saying that Rodgers is getting the benefit of the rules, and that he's
absolutely,
yeah,
absolutely. There's no intimidating. There's no form of intimidating quarterbacks. You can't even hit them. So you know how in practice where quarterbacks used to wear red jerseys.
Oh yeah.
They don't even have to do that anymore. You can't hit them anyhow. Don't hit him. So, I mean, even in game day, where you've practiced all week, you still can't hit the quarterback.
Yeah, but your technique, in fact, we had Paul Wigan on the show last week. He said he still uses your technique as a teaching tool because you were really good at stripping the ball, not so much as bearing the quarterback, but you had the ability to get him and then knock the ball loose. You caused so many fumbles. That's not is there that lost art now? That's what you have to do.
I mean, that's all you can do. That's the only thing that you really can kind of build your name on. I mean, when I was playing, there was Bruce Smith.
Mm-hmm.
There was Reggie White. Both of those guys are in the Hall of Fame. We're all in the same class. How am I going to stand out,
yeah,
amongst, these two guys? Well, my thing was, sack calls fumble. Let that be your calling card. Let that be the theme to kind of set you apart from those guys, and you're so different where people say, that guy, man, he makes plays. Not just making a hit, but he makes a sack, he causes a fumble, he recovers a fumble. That's a complete play.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, I know life is good for you in Atlanta right now, but sticking one more football question. You're in the Vikings Ring of Honor. Does it eat at you at all that you're not in the Pro Football Hall of Fame when you have the obvious statistics and the backing of so many people to say that you should be there, or do you just kind of let it sit in the background of your mind and your daily life?
You know, Mark, I don't let it bother me, and I say that for this reason here. I don't control that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you name another guy who finished third in the history of the league at his position, defensive line, fourth overall in the history of the league, where there's just the compiling numbers. Over 1,000 tackles and all the things that I've accomplished, and you're kind of like sitting around trying to figure out when they're going to call your name. Well, they're going to call it whenever they want to call it. Why are we keeping numbers? That's another thing about this this whole system.
Mm-hmm.
You're keeping numbers to do what? I mean, you know, you got Brett Favre who throws for 71,000 yards, and he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Right.
But you got another guy who throws for 31,000 yards, and he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. That's two careers, man.
Yeah, football is real different that way than baseball. Yeah, it really
is. Absolutely. So, I mean, you know, they're going to put in who they want to put in. They're going to put them in when they want to. And whatever that is, you know, it is what it is. So, I'm happy with my life, my family. It doesn't validate me. I think, you know, being a Pro Football Hall of Famer is a great deal. What really meant a lot and what's really, really special is that, you know, the fans and the people of Minnesota looked at me and looked at my career and said, you know what, this was a good first-round pick.
Well, Chris, more than just a good, it was a great one. And we so appreciate your time here. Congratulations, a well-deserved honor. And I'd love to see you in Canton sooner than later. We appreciate your time today, Chris.
Thank you, Mark.
That was Chris Dolman, and we'll be right back with another member of the Vikings Ring of Honor, the one and only Jim Marshall, right after this.
Life is complicated.
Now, back to Vikings Purple Past. Here's the fans, Mark Rosen.
And welcome back to Purple Past, Minnesota Vikings time, and it's Mark Rosen here with the captain. That's all you have to say about the one and only Jim Marshall. We're so thrilled to have Jim here, of course, a member of the Vikings Ring of Honor. And Marsh, I know we just got through talking with Chris Dolman, and a well-deserved long-time honor for him this weekend. Your thoughts about Chris getting into the Vikings Ring of Honor?
Oh, I think it's just fantastic. You know, he's a great player, great, very dominating, and we had the greatest respect for him. You know, it's always exciting to watch him play. You know, he's a sack leader.
Well, you set the bar pretty high for that with your time with the Minnesota Vikings. I want to dovetail on something that Chris just said. He said it's almost like arena football now with the rules. Not taking anything away from guys like Aaron Rodgers, but he said, you know, we can barely touch the quarterback anymore. You're about as old school as it gets. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think it's getting ridiculous. I watched that game last night. And a guy made a nice, clean, perfect hit. Man, I mean, it was hard, but it was perfect hit and got the flag.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I couldn't understand what he had done wrong. I mean, football is football. You get hit. You know, it's a controlled mayhem, controlled violence. But my goodness, the way that they're going about it now, it looks like they're taking a lot away from the game.
Well, obviously, they're trying to cut down on injuries. They're trying to protect the quarterback, and the helmet-on-helmet hit has become dangerous, as they say. But you ran across some pretty rough customers in your time, and you probably had a few of those collisions with quarterbacks. Can you recall a few of those, and who was the toughest?
Oh, absolutely, man. I had a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
I'd like to say I spent a whole career trying to get one of those helmet-on-helmet hits on a quarterback, put him out of the game.
Yeah. One of the toughest guys? Like the Roman Gabriels? Who was the toughest quarterback that you had to try to bring down?
Roman was tough, but, you know, Bobby Douglas. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, there were several of them that toward the end of my career, well, hell, they all outweighed me, you know.
Well, when you weigh, what do you weigh, 225?
I was playing defensive end at 225, 230 pounds. End of the season, I was down to about 215.
My, oh, my.
So I would make a good running back now.
But, Jim, let me ask you, because I mean, the athletes have gotten bigger, stronger, faster. We all know that. You take a step back and go, is it too dangerous? Guys are getting hit. Some of your contemporaries have had a lot of health issues. You know, maybe all that stuff is sort of weighing in on the players' association, and more importantly, from the league standpoint. Or is it just that's just the game? Is there nothing you can do to protect that?
Well, I don't think there's anything you can do to really protect it, because you know most of the time when you do get a hard hit, it's because you're just trying to do your job,
mm-hmm.
And you know that's what they're out there to do. They're out there to hit them and take them down. And. And if you reach, you think about it. If you just reach and grab Adrian Peterson, you're never going to bring him down. You got to come in. You got to hit him with some force. I mean, it's the only way that you're going to bring a guy like that down. And there are a lot of guys around the league, you know, that may not be as good as Adrian Peterson. But I'm telling you, if you can't stick an arm out and try to grab him and pull him down,
yeah.
You got to hit him and hit him hard.
We're talking to a man who, well, just wouldn't miss a football game. 282 consecutive starts, 270 with the Minnesota Vikings, and a lot of legendary stories, Jim. You got out of hospital rooms, and you had a head coach in Bud Grant who was extremely loyal. And were there Sundays where you just thought you just were not going to make it?
Well, I had a couple of times. I was in, I believe it was Idle Hospital one time, and the guys came by and they were all talking about, well, this will be the first time that you won't be with us. This was on Sunday morning.
Sunday morning.
I think I got up and got the needles out and got myself down and jumped in my car, drove out to the stadium, went in, taped up, and Bud was going to put me in for a series, and I ended up playing the entire game. Bob Lertzema likes to tell that story.
I'm sure he does.
He was going to get his big start. And he said, I couldn't believe it. Here you are. You were in the hospital. We went to visit you in the hospital, and then the next thing we know, you're out there and you're playing.
Man.
What's up with that?
Yeah, well, that was you, Jim, in a nutshell, for our younger listeners right now who didn't get a chance to watch you play, and I had the honor of doing so. And I mentioned that word loyalty, and it doesn't exist much today in sports or business or much of anywhere in life. But you had that. You had a very special core group, and you also had that with Bud Grant. When did that bond sort of cement itself when you knew you had a special relationship with your head coach, who was not a guy that wanted to get all that close to his players?
Well, you know, I think it came about the second year. The first year we started looking at the changes that he was making, and you know, we had just come off a stint with Norm Van Brocklin, who was, you know, he preached go in, take a guy out, and I don't care if you get a penalty. Just a lot of ridiculous things. And Bud came in and emphasized not getting penalties, playing hard, giving your best effort, and it was a different system. So it took us a while to adjust to that. But the second year, you know, when we started winning games and making some progress, and we could see the team was getting better, and so of course we wanted to listen to him and what he was teaching and follow his lead. I played for some great coaches. You know, I played for Woody Hayes, Paul Brown, just to mention a couple. And I think Bud Grant is the best coach, the greatest coach, that I played for. And one of the reasons was he had a way of identifying players, knowing what contribution they could make to the team, and he would kind of build a system around those guys, you know, what they could do, how they could make their contribution. He always made sure if a guy could do something that was really special, you know, he would incorporate that into his system. So, you know, for that, I think he was really smart.
Well, it sure worked for many, many, many years. Jim, you're at 73, I think, right now, and a lot of fans would like to know where they can find you, and I know you are in the restaurant business these days. Tell folks where we can find Jim Marshall hanging out these days.
Well, I'm up in Two Harbors, Minnesota. You know, it's about 20 miles north of Duluth on Highway 61.
Beautiful place.
And it's a great area, and we've got what we think is a first class sports bar there. One that we've got all the big screen television sets. We've got a beautiful patio area with a fire pit in the center. We're going to do a lot of snowmobile stuff this winter when the snow flies, and cross country skiing and dog sledding and all those things.
So you're not slowing down. You never know. You don't have a neutral switch in your body.
I retired, and it looks like I'm working harder now. I retired than I did before. So,
but you're having fun, and you have survived, is the only word I can come up with, some of the most amazing things throughout your life and career. So you got to be looking at this going, my eyes wide open, and just having the time of your life right now.
Well, I'm having fun.
Yeah.
I'm having fun. You know, life should be fun. And I'm trying to enjoy it. You know, I'm maybe getting close to the twilight of my life, and don't want it to come on. So I'm trying to stay as young as I can and as healthy as I can.
Well, it's been an amazing run for you, Jim, and we appreciate your time so much for spending some time with us. And now, what's the name of the place up in Two Harbors? If folks want to drive up there and say hi.
It's Viking Legends Sports Bar and Grill.
Can't miss it when you get to Two Harbors. Beautiful.
Can't miss it. It's just as you come into Two Harbors on the lake side, and it's done up in purple and gold. So you can't miss Viking and purple and gold.
All right, Captain. We appreciate your time. Best of luck, and we hope to see you up there in Two Harbors.
Okay. Thanks, Marky.
My pleasure. The one and only Jim Marshall. You've been listening to Vikings Purple Past here on The Fan.
This has been Vikings.